Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've got a question to ask you guys. And I'm only bringing this up because it's our top text and because we get asked about wide receivers in the same vein. The top text we have is, hey, C-Dot, why do you think the Chiefs haven't kicked the tires on someone like Jarvis Landry? I would just like to read to you guys this one thing. Jarvis Landry played in 2022. He had 25 catches for less than 300 yards and a touchdown. He played in 9 games. He then did not play at all in 2023. And he has not played so far in 2024. Jarvis Landry is 31 years old. Jarvis Landry has had a very successful career. He played in Miami, played in Cleveland, played in New Orleans for a little bit. He is done. I bring that up because you guys also ask about Hunter Renfrow. Now, I don't have the number in front of me, but let me do a quick Google. There's a lot of guys in the National Football League, almost 2,000 players. Actually, like closer to 1,700. Let me not exaggerate. Jarvis Landry's not one of them. Hunter Renfrow is not one of them. There's a lot of other good teams in the National Football League. There's a lot of other needy teams in the league, and none of these teams could find a spot for either one of these individuals. Now, I'm not saying the teams are always right. Clearly, we saw with Kareem Hunt, a team very easily could have used Kareem Hunt. The Cowboys, he's better than both of the running backs that they have. So I'm not saying that teams don't get things wrong. But I don't think a guy who is not employed right now is going to help the Chiefs that much at wide receiver. I think they're going to need to spend a little bit more resources than that to fix this problem. Again, I could be wrong. Kareem Hunt has way more in the tank than I thought he had in the tank. I will admit that. I thought Kareem Hunt was done for the most part, and he seems viable. Now it's just a couple of weeks. Let's see what Kareem Hunt looks like in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But for right now, he is exactly what you need him to be. So my answer to Jarvis Landry is going to be no. My answer to Hunter Renfrow is going to be no. My answer to any player that you can name that's currently not on an NFL roster is going to be no. Let's just go ahead and get that out there. I wish I could pin this to the top of my sports opinions and let you know if they're not on the NFL team and we are almost at Halloween, no, I do not want them on the Kansas City Chiefs. They are not going to fix their problem. Let me play for you somebody who I would be interested in. Here is Jason McCourty talking about DeAndre Hopkins, and he thinks that Pittsburgh should be the team that makes the move.
Wide receivers are at a premium, so I want to keep it right there. DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
While Tomlin's flirting about playing Russell Wilson, hopefully that he's able to get the ball out and get it on the edge a little bit more. Do you guys know who the second leading receiver is on the Pittsburgh Steelers outside the numbers? No, you have no idea, because it's Najee Harris. He's the next guy in line after George Pickens. They need help on the outside.
No doubt.
And a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who wins contested passes, he can go out there and win and really help them.
So DeAndre Hopkins, very similar to Amari Cooper, there's going to be a need. There's going to be teams that are very interested in a guy who used to be an all-pro, who was on a bad team that has a chance to join a decent team. Now, I'm a big Bill Barnwell individual. I think he's one of the smartest minds in football. He works with ESPN. So he did a story about some possible trade scenarios. Listen to this, because this gets me excited. He has the Chiefs acquiring DeAndre Hopkins for a 2025 fifth-round pick. I am telling you right now, if DeAndre Hopkins is to be had for a fifth-round pick, the Chiefs should have made that trade yesterday. Now, you got to make the money work a little bit, and you got to move some stuff around to go get DeAndre Hopkins. It's not going to be as easy as it was with Amari Cooper because he's making a little bit more money than he was. Right now, the cap hit for DeAndre Hopkins, it started at $18 million. We have obviously played some of those weeks, so the cap hit goes down as the season progresses because you have paid the player over the course of it. So let's say by the time you get DeAndre Hopkins, you can get this down to $9 million. Maybe you reach a restructure. Maybe you figure out a way to move something around. Maybe you restructure somebody else's deal who's going to be here. You got time to figure this out if you really want to make this work. If you're telling me the D-Hop can be gotten right now for a fifth-round pick, he will be traded between now and the deadline. Maybe the Chiefs won't be the team because they can't make the math work, Rob. But if you're telling me that right now the cost to go acquire DeAndre Hopkins, who I still think has a little bit left in the tank, who could still help a team, a contending team, if you were telling me that that's the case, then Washington should go get him. Then Chicago should go get him. Then Minnesota should go get him and pair him with Justin Jefferson. He will be traded if all you got to give up is a fifth-round pick.
Do you want to play the audio from Zach Bingham when he was on the show earlier this week? Because if Zach Bingham is saying this, and he covers the team for A to Z Sports in Nashville, and he was on the show talking about DeAndre Hopkins 2 days ago, and he mentioned his health in this cut. If Zach Bingham knows it, and now me and you know it, I'm guessing the league knows exactly what Zach Bingham knows.
I definitely think conversations will and should be had. Whether a deal gets done, I think that's the beauty of the NFL, and we'll navigate that over the next several weeks. And you know, it's October 15th, and teams are wheeling and dealing. And you get the right wide receiver, then you can really do some damage. I think looking at what Amari Cooper and Davante Adams got, I think the one thing that you have to take into account is DeAndre Hopkins sat out most of training camp with a torn MCL. He still has that, and he's not going to get surgery. So whatever team is going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins, he's not 100%. Now, he has tread on the tires, but he will not be 100%, and he's going to have to play through pain, which he's talked about this season. So I definitely think that will impact what is given for D-Hop.
He has a torn MCL, and he's playing through pain. Now, that's probably what depreciates the cost.
It 100% depreciates the cost.
It seems like a pretty big risk if your solution to the problem is guy who is already injured with a torn MCL.
I would also say in that scenario, with that information, Tennessee has to be willing to eat some of the money if you want me to take on that contract and give you a draft pick for it. You guys want to get this number off of your books because you're not going anywhere? Sure. You're going to have to eat some of the money. The Jets were willing to take all of the contract for Davante Adams. You're going to have to take some of that deal if you want to get this player off your roster. I'm not giving you a third round pick. DeAndre Hopkins is 32 years old. He has knee trouble right now. I'm not giving you a third round pick for that player and looking at what his contract is. Now, we've been talking about Mike Williams as a possibility. Mike Williams is being traded. I don't know where he is going to be traded to, but Mike Williams will not play for the New York Jets anymore. Diana Rossini of The Athletic, she says that the top three teams in that market are the Chargers, Steelers, and the Saints. The Saints make a lot of sense right now because they're almost as depleted as Kansas City is at wide receiver. Chris Olave is not playing today on Thursday Night Football. They also don't have Shaheed, who has turned into a real speedster wide receiver for them, a kind of do everything, kind of like what you want Xavier Worthy to be. That's what Shaheed has turned into for the New Orleans Saints. So they're looking for a wide receiver too. The Saints would make a lot of sense, and you can also acquire this player for next to nothing. The Jets almost have to give him away just given their contract situation, their financial situation. So the Chiefs at least don't appear to be in the top three for Mike Williams. So we're continuing to get more information about who's available and who's not available. I did find the Bill Barnwell piece interesting. If you're telling me it's a fifth round pick to go get DeAndre Hopkins, I do think he gets traded at some point between now and the deadline. And at least early, it doesn't sound like the Chiefs are a finalist, so to speak, for Mike Williams. It would appear they're going to have to do something. If you guys missed the news, Juju was a limited participant in practice today. So we'll see if he plays on Sunday. It's still Thursday, so we'll see what his status is looking like for Friday. At this point, we have enough information by Andy to know if you don't practice, you don't play on Friday. What he looks like on Friday is going to give us that answer, but they're starting to run out of bodies in that room. At some point, you just got to make a trade to just give yourself the numbers in that room. Things are getting kind of thin down there. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Joe Shasky. He does mornings in San Francisco. We'll get his thoughts. I was talking to his co-host, Bonte Hill, and he told me that this is the biggest game on the San Francisco schedule this year. That is certainly not the way the Chiefs fans feel about this matchup. We'll see why this game means so much to San Francisco, why they've gotten off to such a slow start, and what chance Joe gives them to upset, so to speak, the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some of you will understand this analogy and some of you won't understand it. Have you ever had a table in the club? I mean, you guys got a bottle of Grey Goose. The pretty girls are going to come around with the sparklers. You guys are going to have a good time. And then you walk past the line and you look at all of those people and in your heart, you feel like you're better than those individuals. Like you would never be waiting in the line with these individuals. There's a lot of people waiting in that line, metaphorically. Lamar Jackson is waiting in that line. You get to just, you know, you get there, they know your name, they open the little velvety rope for you, you get to walk right into the club. It's great. You got a seat, the girls come by. Lamar Jackson waiting in that line. Josh Allen waiting in that line. Our next guest, Joe Shasky, he is also in that line waiting to get into the club. Joe, let me tell you, it's nice inside of here, man. I hope one day you can get inside this club and see how nice it is in here.
Nah, dog. I really don't do clubbing at my age, nor did I ever do clubbing because I never had no money. I was out front causing ruckus waiting for the bus to pick me up.
Right now we're talking to Joe Shasky. He does mornings in San Francisco. Joe, so, all right, this is what I've been hearing from your side, and tell me or not if this is true. This game means everything to you guys. This might hurt you a little bit, but this game isn't really rating with Chiefs fans a whole lot.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, you guys have to understand, this means nothing for changing Super Bowl outcomes of past. This has zero bearings on the playoffs this year. This is for our souls. This is for our psyches. All right, we got to beat you guys for our psyche. Is it the end all be all? Is the season over if we lose? No. Just like the Ravens season wasn't over at the beginning of the year because Isaiah Likely's foot was on the line. But at the same time, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ at least once so you can believe it. And you have to understand, you guys are living the existence of what us Warrior fans lived for the last decade, which is you've got the great magic elixir in Patrick Mahomes. He's got the magic voodoo over everyone else in the sport right now. And so we feel like the Houston Rockets of the NFL, meaning we're great regular season players. We've got an awesome regular season team. But for some reason, we can't beat you guys. And you have the dude at the end who's shimmying in our face as we are losing in despair. And I've used this analogy over and over. I'm a kid of the 80s. I watched Joe Montana hang two, not one, two Super Bowls over the Cincinnati Bengals. They weren't our rivals. We didn't care about the Bengals. We didn't give a damn. But imagine being a Bengal fan, watching Joe Montana rip your heart out, not once, but twice. That's what we've gone through with you guys and that frickin' Patrick Mahomes. He's awesome.
Joe, which one hurts more, the first one or the second one?
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, we lost in overtime. I mean, first off, every one of them loses. Like, you played ball, you coached. Losing always sticks with you way longer than winning does. Like, you bring that up. Again, I brought up the San Francisco Giants. We beat your Kansas City Royals. And I know you guys ended up winning a World Series the very next year. Madison Bumgarner, I just say that name. It still evokes emotion, does it not? Yeah, it's great you won the following year, but wouldn't it have been a lot sweeter to win two in a row? Both of them hurt in different ways. In totally different ways. This last one, the part that is so hard to come to grips with, the last one, not only were we up double digits again in the fourth quarter, not only did we hold the homes in check and got turnovers and had everything we needed till the very end, we didn't know the rules of overtime, for Christ's sake. I was sitting up in the media section, all right, in the nosebleeds touching Jesus, for crying out loud, and I'm saying, you got to get six. You're taking the ball first. You're giving the guy four chances to go down the field. Then the NFL film sound comes out 2 weeks later. Oh, these guys want the ball. They want the ball. It's one of the dumbest decisions in the history of barrier sports. And it's impossible to be utterly, like, I am utterly disgusted because you guys, and rightfully, laugh in our face when you think about Shanahan and his decision in overtime. And us kind of knowing the rules, but not really, and then faking like we knew, and you guys laughing the entire way. You know how hard it is to swallow that pill? It's impossible.
We were talking about this earlier, and some people are using San Francisco's defense was tired. That's why they did it. Well, then you let Kansas City score on offense, and then you tell Brock Purdy, you tell Christian McCaffrey, you tell Ayuk and Debo Samuel, all right, we're going to go score a touchdown here, and we're going to go for two because we're going to go win the Super Bowl. Under no circumstances could you, A, get the ball first, and then, B, kick a field goal in that scenario.
Look, when they got down to the goal line, or whatever, in the red zone, excuse me, I turned to my co-host, Monte. I said, Monte, it's 6-point territory. I know. You missed a field goal or whatever. You go for it on fourth, you get stifled. You're losing the Super Bowl anyway. There was nothing that was going to stop Mahomes and the Chiefs, in my estimation. It was a 4th-and-2. They did that read option play. Both went flying through. It didn't matter. To me, it didn't matter. You needed six. Once you took the ball first, you had to go get six. You were flirting with the devil, for crying out loud. I mean, come on. The fact you got the Mahomes interception to start the second half and lost yards and didn't even get points, it was just the elixir of the entire night was set up for me to be devastated. And I walked out of there. I've had some really crummy walkouts in my life in terms of losses that I've had to just, you just got to wear the L. And that was one of them. And the part that is just the hardest part, the twisting of the knife, you didn't really know the rules, Shanahan. Just freaking wear it. You didn't know. Everyone knew but you.
Right now, we're talking to Joe Shasky. He does mornings in San Francisco. We're getting the Niners' perspective on Sunday's matchup. Joe, how would you rank teams that San Francisco 49ers fans hate? So you're saying that the Chiefs are number one on this list? Are the Cowboys
Hold on. First off, we hate Cowboy fans, number one, because that's generational.
Okay.
The Niners and the Cowboys, going back to the 60s and 70s, have faced each other in the playoffs for a chance to go to the Super Bowl since the very first NFC Championship game of all time in 1969, one of the last games for the Niners at Kezar Stadium, the old stadium before Candlestick. And then you have what happened in the 80s. In the 70s, the Niners blew multiple NFC Championship games against the Cowboys. So there's this callus built up generation by generation. I'm a fifth-generation city boy, okay? My grandfather hates the Cowboys. My dad, who passed away, hated the Cowboys. My mom hates the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys. My son hates the Cowboys. You know what I mean? That's how it works. So they're number one. And then you could throw in the Rams or the Seahawks or the New York Giants, the Eagles for a period of time. You know who we hate? We don't hate Chiefs fans. We just can't stand Mahomes because he's great. He's freaking great. He is the Steph Curry. He's so good and so likable, it's almost impossible to hate him. Like, Russell Wilson we hated because he felt fake, and we ended up being right on that. He was fake, and all his teammates hate his guts. Like, we hated Russ. We hated Pete Carroll. We hate Mahomes because he's awesome. He's so freaking good, and it's really hard to nitpick because we wish he was our quarterback.
Right now, we're talking to Joe Shasky here, getting the San Francisco 49ers situation. All right, you guys are 3-3. What's the biggest reason you would say the Niners are 3-3 so far this season?
I mean, it's a combination of off-season greed because everyone's trying to get theirs before the quarterback gets paid. So you had a bunch of holdouts, the Super Bowl hangover in general, random injuries. The CMC thing's the biggest one. I mean, look, let's not like sugarcoat around it. If Mahomes is the best player in the league, there's an argument CMC's number two, right? Like, there really is. That's how good this guy is. Ever since he came to the Niners, just chalk up 120 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. That's pretty much what he averages every single game. He made Jimmy Garoppolo look good. He's obviously one of the unlockable pieces for the rest of this offense for Debo and Ayuk and George Kittle, who are all individually great players. But when he's on the field, it goes to another level. And so not having him is a huge deal. But it's been turnovers. It's been special team issues. You know, the defense has been all over the map. Some performances have been good, like the one against Seattle. But Bosa hasn't been living up to the money. The way you guys have Chris Jones, the way he closes out in fourth quarters, we've been begging Nick Bosa to do that. And really, since the Defensive Player of the Year award 2 years ago, he hasn't been that same dude until recent, this last week against Seattle. So it's just been a little bit of everything. And we've lost Dre Greenlaw. He was like the heart and soul. Nobody's going to know, oh, Dre Greenlaw. Because Fred Warner, obviously, is the best right now current player on the defense, middle linebacker, just an absolute stud. But Greenlaw is the heart and soul. Like, he is the heart and soul of this team. He's got this nasty, he plays with an edge. They haven't had him. They miss his speed, and he's a separator. I'm talking about dudes who thump and separate guys from the ball. You guys know, the second he got off that field, our defense was in disarray. We didn't even know where Travis Kelce was lining up, for crying out loud. It's Travis Kelce. Stay in front of him, somebody.
Joe, what's the running back situation like? You mentioned Christian McCaffrey. He hasn't played yet this season. I actually thought Jordan Mason filled in very nicely in Christian McCaffrey's absence. He's banged up. He left the last game now. What's the running back situation going to be like for Sunday?
That's a great question. Look, they had this rookie. Shanahan is so hit and miss with running backs. He finds them randomly. Undrafted free agents. You know, Mason was an undrafted guy. He's traded for ones, you know, in years past. He tried to sign McKinnon, who was just an absolute – he's injured. He just did nothing for the Niners, and I know he was good for the Chiefs for a period of time. But then he finds these random guys, Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson Jr., the latest, Jordan Mason. I was screaming for Jordan Mason last year, even though they had Eli Mitchell kind of in between CMC and Mason on the depth chart. I wanted to see the bowling ball. I thought he brought a level of physicality, like a thunder and lightning combo to the offense. But it's hard to take CMC off the field because he's such a dynamic pass catcher and a blocker. I mean, he just does everything. So you didn't really get a chance to see Mason until this year. He's dynamic. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. He's been wearing the blue non-contact jersey. I got him in three different fantasy leagues because I know how good he can be. I don't know if he's going to play. They had the kid Guerrero, who was a draft pick, look terrible for about 5 weeks. Last week, he popped that big run. He got his best game by far, most touches by far. I thought he got better as the game went along. I have no idea what they're going to do in the backfield. I've heard Mason 50-50, literally, from all the people I trust. And then if it's not him, you're going Guerrero and some guy that no one's ever heard of in Patrick Taylor, who played for the Green Bay Packers and caught a couple of passes. I mean, I don't know. But this is what the Shanahans do. They figure out a way. And here's the little thing that I've been looking at. Every time we lose to you guys, not only do we lose, we also don't stay committed to the run. You guys outrush us in all these big-time games, all of them. And it pisses me off because their bread and butter all year long is staying dedicated to the run and opening up via the play action. You guys take us out of our element. You spread us out. And it's just not who we are. We are a run-the-ball-down-your-throat team. And your three big linebackers have negated that.
Joe, I'm looking at the schedule for San Francisco, and maybe this is me having a little bit of a hot take here. I'm not 100% certain that San Francisco is going to make the postseason, given the injuries that you just allude to and given the schedule. They got Kansas City. They go on the road against Tampa Bay, on the road against Green Bay, on the road against Buffalo. They play Detroit later this season. This feels like this could be a 9-8 Niners team that is just holding on, and maybe they grab one of those wild card spots. This is not a dominant team, or at least they haven't been so far, San Francisco team, and the sort of team that we've been used to over the last 5-6 years.
Look, they have not played anywhere near what I want them to play like. That is no doubt. There's no doubt about it. But last year, heading into the Eagle game, they were dominant in the first 5 weeks. They went into a slide throughout a three-game losing streak. Guys got injured. Debo, Trent Williams were out. Purdy got knocked up. They looked really bad. Then they had the bye week, and they got themselves right, and they had one big game, and it was the Eagle game. And they got themselves so pumped up. From that moment on, they were a completely different team, and they were humming, and they were ready to go. They were great at the beginning of the year, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking at this game as a galvanizing moment for the Niners. Like, this is one of those moments they could go on a run. They're going to win the division. I'm telling you right now, look here. I'm an arrogant Niner fan. The Rams are so banged up. They're done. Just cross them off. Arizona, for whatever reason, Kyler gives us fits. But I don't trust them in big games. And Seattle, Geno's never beaten the Niners. He never will. Ever since Purdy took over, he owns the Seahawks. That whole Seahawks, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll thing has been expired for a long time. Niners own them. We've beaten them in the playoffs. We've beaten them up in Lumen multiple times at Levi's. They're going to win the division. Wild card, I don't think they're going to be good enough for a wild card. Their path to the playoffs currently is win the division. But I'm still not ruling out 10-11 wins. I'm just not. And I want to see what happens with the North, the NFC North, that is. They might pilfer each other. I believe in Detroit more than most, and I don't believe in Minnesota, even though they kicked the Niners' butt earlier this year.
Joe, what teams in the NFC would you say you believe in or would you consider to be a contender? Because you look at the NFC right now, it feels very wide open now with the injury that happened to Aiden Hutchinson. Also, what happened with San Francisco and all the injuries that they happened. Are you a believer in Minnesota? Are you a believer in Washington? Are you a believer of Green Bay? Who are the other teams in the NFC that you do like?
I don't want to just basically cross off Minnesota. We had Sam Darnold last year. I was thoroughly unimpressed. Everyone hyped him up, unimpressed. Then we played him. He had one of his best games. He was awesome, right? I've always been kind of a doubter going back to USC, so maybe that's unfair of me. But Minnesota, that defense, Brian Flores, like Spagnuolo, has Shanahan's number. I want to see them one more time. I want to see what they do against Detroit this week. I believe in Detroit. I don't believe in Jared Goff as much as others. He's from this region, and the Niners have knocked him around. He actually makes some good throws in that NFC Championship game, and Reynolds drops some balls. Dan Campbell has some questionable go-for-it situations. Detroit is legit. I believe in Detroit. They are legit. But losing Aiden Hutchinson, he was a beast in the NFC Championship game. He's a monster. The other teams, I like Tampa. I like Baker Mayfield. I love their weapons. They've got some battle-tested playoff daddies on that team. I don't know what to make of Atlanta. I definitely fear Green Bay. I think they're young and up-and-coming, and they can throw it all around. I like Green Bay in a dome more than I like them in Lambeau in December because of their weapons. So I'm with you. NFC is wide open. And then I don't know what to make of Washington. Jaden Daniels has been outstanding, but I'm still not ready to cross off Philly. You know, Saquon's a beast. Jalen Hurts is, like, all over the place. But number 11 is just an absolute monster, the wide receiver. So I still believe in Philly a little. I mean, the New York Giants are terrible. Derek Daniels, get out of here. So there's only a handful of teams, but it's wide open. But I think that North division is the most fascinating by far.
Last thing here, Joe, and we appreciate your time. Give me keys. We always ask our opposing guests this. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Niners win-if scenario.
Wow. The Niners win if Nick Bosa comes to play and actually shows up. The Niners win if they actually stay dedicated to the run game and they try to open up the passing with George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk. I think those two guys were underutilized in the Super Bowl. I think they need to go in that route, whether Mason's healthy or not. Like, they got to get Ayuk going. They got to get George Kittle going. The other name that Chiefs fans are going to see, who I think is an absolute stud, he's one of the better football players that no one talks about. Diamino Lenore, I just think, is an absolute stud. He's number two. He's going to play in the slot. He's going to go on the outside. He's a great secondary player. Think what you guys have with McDuffie. The Chiefs win, it's pretty simple. If Patrick Mahomes is anywhere near 7 points or less in the fourth quarter, what do you think we think is going to happen? I mean, come on, you know? I mean, just, the guy is, he is the modern Joe Montana with the movement, with everything. He's just, the guy's, I hate him because he reminds me so much of Joe and obviously Steph Curry, all the greats. He just never, ever flinches, no matter what the circumstances are. Oh, the guy, dude. He's like Darth Vader.
He absolutely has been your Darth Vader. That is Joe Shasky joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work. He does mornings in San Francisco. Joe, you know what? We're going to be listening to your morning show on Monday so we can hear all the pain and sorrow after another Chiefs defeat from you guys.
I'm bringing my son to the game, all right? And the last time my dad passed away, I brought my dad. The last game was when the Niners played the Chiefs. My grandpa was out there. My brother was out there. So I'm hoping for some good juju. I'm calling on God this weekend. God, I'm bringing my son out there for a first game. I need a victory. Like, just, I need the skies to open up like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial. And something crazy needs to happen so that we can win this game and just, like, get this off our schneid, get the monkey off our back, if you will. I need a freaking victory for my soul. Can you tell?
I can absolutely tell. That is our guy, Joe Shasky, joining us on the show today. Joe, I appreciate you, man.
Hey, let Kansas City know I hate them.
You know what? They know. We got it. That is our guy, Joe Shasky, joining us on the show. He wants you guys to know that he's not a big fan of you guys. I would not be a fan of you guys either if my team kept losing to you guys as well. I do think this about the NFC and why I think San Francisco is in such an interesting position. The AFC is pretty straightforward. There's four teams that can win the AFC. Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City. That's it. The Jets are not winning. Pittsburgh is not winning. Cincinnati. There's only four teams that have an argument to me of we are going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, and those are the four. In the NFC, 10 teams. Washington, I don't think that Philadelphia or Dallas are legitimate contenders. There's nothing about this Eagles team that would make me think that they are winning three straight playoff games against three straight playoff teams. Absolutely not. Not with that coach. Not with the way their quarterback has played over the last year and a half. Not an Eagles believer in the least bit. So Washington, at this point, you cannot eliminate a team in the NFC North. I don't think the Bears are making it to the Super Bowl, but Caleb continues to play well. That defense continues to grow and mature. Could we be talking about a different Bears team later in the season? Sure, I'm open to the possibility. Minnesota, absolutely. Detroit, absolutely. Green Bay, absolutely. In the NFC South, Atlanta and Tampa Bay, and in the NFC West, I'm not going to completely eliminate San Francisco. I just haven't been overly impressed by them, and their schedule is difficult. I mean, that's nine teams in the NFC that legitimately have a case for the Super Bowl. So the AFC to me feels very, very straightforward, where the NFC doesn't. Now, some of that is just quarterback power. The power of quarterback in the National Football League is in the AFC with Lamar and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and CJ Stroud and so many great quarterbacks in the AFC. Not necessarily the case in the NFC, but it's growing a little bit. Baker's played well. Kirk Cousins has had some stretches. Jaden Daniels is playing really well. Caleb Williams is emerging. There's some young up-and-coming talent in the NFC that I think leave it wide open. This feels to me like a year where you remember, I can't remember what year it was, but where the Colts played the Bears in the Super Bowl. that it was Peyton Manning and it was Rex Grossman on the other side. And you're thinking, huh, how did that happen? Like, in our lifetime, Rex Grossman has taken a team to the Super Bowl. That's what this year feels like to me. Maybe I'm off, but this just feels like a year that it's Kansas City, Tampa Bay again in the Super Bowl, or it's Buffalo against Washington in the Super Bowl. It just feels like it's just going to be one of those random, weird years in the National Football League. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Coming up in a bit, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster was limited in practice today with an injury. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. But, Rob, before we do that, I would like to play a very simple game. Usually, we play one gotta go. I'll give you four things, and you tell me the one that is not going to make the list. Well, you know what? We're going to do the inverse of that. I am going to give you four options, and I want you to pick the quarterback that you would take in this scenario. So what I am going to paint for you, your team is down 4 points. It is 2:15 left on the clock. Your team has just gotten a touchback, so you got it at the 25-yard line. Your team has two timeouts left in the game. So you got the two-minute warning to play with, and you only have two timeouts, and your team needs to get a touchdown. I'm going to give you two groups of quarterbacks, and we will see which one of those that you would take. Hit me with some music. Let's start with the first group. So again, the scenario, it's 2:15 left in the game. 2 minute warning is still available, and you got two timeouts. You got to go down the field. All right, the first four I'm going to give you: Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, and Jared Goff. Which one of those quarterbacks are you taking to get your team down the field and in the end zone?
And are we taking them on their current team, current coach, current weaponry, or is it just all things are equal?
You know what? I'll let this be a dealer's choice. You pick.
Jared Goff. Ben Johnson is going to be a head coach when in the NFL. He's the offensive coordinator for the Lions. He's very, very good at his job. Jared Goff has the best pedigree of anyone in that group, and he might have the best weaponry of anyone in that group when healthy. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl, probably should have been to a second, and is currently quarterbacking the best team in the NFC. I don't want to hear it about the Vikings. I will take Jared Goff, especially if you're adding coach and weaponry into the equation, because I think Brock Purdy is a coach creation, but he probably comes in second. Jordan Love, I'm on the fence about Jordan Love. I think he's good, but let's just see. And you say Jalen Hurts? He and his coach are fighting, so no thanks. I would take Jared Goff in that situation.
Is there anything that you think that Brock Purdy could do to remove the label of being a coach creation? He's played really well so far this season. He played really well last season. This Niners team is not 100% healthy. You haven't had Christian McCaffrey at any point this season. Brandon Ayuk missed all of offseason. This is not an ideal situation. Did you know right now that Juwan Jennings is the number one wide receiver in terms of yards on this team? So this is a different San Francisco 49ers team, and I would say Purdy is still playing pretty well. Is there anything Brock Purdy can do in your eyes to remove the product of the system label for you, or is that ship just sailed at this point?
He's got to do some winning with that. Once he gets the contract, I'll open it up. But right now,
because really quickly, I would say I think it's a little bit unfair that we are putting so much on Jared Goff when Jared Goff has looked good with Sean McVay. And true. He also has looked good with Ben Johnson, who we think is one of the five best offensive coordinators in the league. And the Lions have given Jared Goff everything. They've given him two capable running backs. They've given him great weapons on the outside, a top five tight end in the league, and maybe the best offensive line in the league. Jared Goff is not doing this by himself. He, I would say at this point, has more help than Brock Purdy does.
I would say that's probably fair, but I want to see it without the contract, because I know Mahomes has bucked the trend. But the trend in the NFL is the most valuable commodity is a rookie contract quarterback. Brock Purdy's is even cheaper than a regular rookie contract quarterback. So they have been able to extend Ayuk. They've been able to give Christian McCaffrey a boatload of money. They've been able to give money to Trent Williams. They've been able to give money to this, that, and the other person. I think when the bill comes due on Purdy, and we heard Danny Parkin say things going to get $60 million, if he keeps winning, I'll be more open to it, but I need to see it without. Also, I know his numbers are good this year, but with those injuries and those weaponry downgrades, the Niners are a team that you were opening the show today questioning if they're a playoff team or
not. I'm not 100% certain.
So if that's the case, you're going to trust their quarterback to go down the field and get the win? No, Jared Goff.
Yeah, I think that Goff is the right answer here. I'm higher on Purdy than you are. I mean, Jalen Hurts, I mean, let's just call it. He's been bad since the Super Bowl. He has not been good. He's not one of the five best quarterbacks to me right now in the NFC. He looks like a completely different person, and I'm with you. At some point, him and Nick Sirianni are going to have a divorce, and you got to try to turn his career around. So I would pick Goff in this scenario, but again, I'm not as down on Purdy as you are. I think we're starting to use the well when they get paid thing as a little bit of a crutch in the league. Almost everybody has gotten paid now in the league. What good quarterback hasn't been paid now in the National Football League? That's just kind of the era that we're in. Like, we are 12 months away from every good quarterback being paid in the league. Stroud's about to get paid here in a couple years. Purdy's about to get paid. All of these quarterbacks are dealing with the same limitations and the same salary cap. I think that's a little bit unfair to him. All right, let me give you another group. Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, and Dak Prescott. Which one of them do you trust to take you down the field, down four, 2:15 left on the clock, and two timeouts?
That one's tougher. I think Stafford's the most physically talented of anyone in that group. But I think I'm going to take Baker. There's just something about Baker in Tampa Bay that's different. He's got a little moxie. He's got the best weaponry of anyone in that grouping. He has won in the playoffs before. I think Stafford's the most talented, but I lean Baker. It's like a 1A, 1B, Baker and Stafford. And then it's, I think they're a tied for last. Kirk Cousins, if the game is on national television, will wilt. And boy, ever since Dak Prescott got that fat contract on the Saturday before the season, has he done anything impressive. Now, that's a very small sample size, but he looks like whoops-a-doodle for the contract fast.
I would take Baker Mayfield right now. Do you know what Baker's done since he has been a starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
He's been really good down there.
He's been strong. He's completing 66% of his passes, so this is the highest completion percentage he's ever had. He also has 43 touchdown passes and 15 interceptions in his 23 starts as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback. Now, his numbers are not better than what Kirk Cousins has been when he's been healthy. His number is not as good as Dak Prescott. There's something about Baker and that team. They've got capable weapons on the outside with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. They got a good tight end. That Cade Otton kid, I actually think, is a pretty decent tight end. They run the football effectively. They got a couple of different options. I actually think Tampa Bay is going to win that division. I think they're the best team in that division. Out of all those teams, I actually think that they're like a real dark horse. They can get hot, and maybe they find themselves in the Super Bowl. I like Tampa Bay, so I'm going to take Goff in Category A. I'm also going to take Baker Mayfield in the second one. Dak, now, I think the Cowboys have a bunch of problems. You want to talk about a team that has really struggled now in the midst of how they've had to handle the cap and how they have to pay everybody? The Cowboys. The Cowboys team is just built incorrectly. And I know you are the never run the football. It's not valuable. Dallas's biggest problem right now is how one-dimensional they are. They can't run the football at all. Like, they have no balance on that team, and that's really opened themselves up. I tell you guys this all the time. Football is simple. It is a line of scrimmage game. It's not just you got to run for 1,000 yards and have the best back. No, you got to be able to get the tough yards on second and four. You got to be able to run the football effectively in short yarded situations. The Cowboys, they cannot beat you physically. And if you can't beat people physically in the NFL, you're just not winning football games at a high level. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster was limited in practice. What does that mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? Also, a very interesting trade proposal that was thrown out for DeAndre Hopkins. We'll get to that and more. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.